We're holding on page Gimel in Sota, about the middle of the page, also middle of Arzayin. We started learning yesterday about Gasus HaRuach, about a person who's proud and a Baal Gaiva, saying that it's considered like he's worshipping Avodah Zarah, and as if he's denying Hashem, and as if he has relations with all the Arayas, and as if he built a bomber. So now continuing on that topic of various things about Gaiva, about Gasus HaRuach, the Maharal, by the way, has a whole explanation in Chidrushi HaGodis over here, and he has a sefer called Nesivos. He has a sefer called Nesivos Olam, where he has various sections on there, and they're dealing with different midas. So he has a section on Anova, and he has a long explanation of various parts of our Gemara. One point is he makes the point that the Baal Gaiva shows that he thinks of himself as a Metzius. So therefore, in reality, though, what he's doing is he's being the very opposite of Metzios, and therefore we're comparing that to Avodah Zarah, which also has no real Metzios, and as if he denies Hashem, who is the one true Metzios, and so on and so forth. And he explains how each of these things represents that he thinks of himself as a great Metzios, and really he's the polar opposite of that. Okay. So now you have a pasuk. Before we quoted the first half of the pasuk, that said, "Toyavas Hashem kol gvalev." It's the abomination, the disgusting thing to Hashem is anybody who has a proud heart. Now the end of that pasuk continues, "Yod le yod lo yinoke." Hand to hand, he will not be cleansed. So now the Gemara is going to deal with the second half of that pasuk. So my yod le yod lo yinoka, what does the second half of that pasuk mean? Hand to hand, he will not be cleansed. Amar Rav, so Rav says it means kolabal ishis ish, anybody who has relations with an ishis ish. Now, you actually have different gersois over here, whether it's supposed to say ishis ish, or whether it's supposed to be kol shiesh le gasus aruach. Marsha prefers the girsa gasus aruach, because again, then it's a continuation of the pasuk we said before, Toyavas Hashem kol gvalev, and now yod le yod lo yinoka will continue referring to the gas ruach. But then you have over here we're referring to an ashes ish. Now there is in fact a different pasuk in Mishlei that begins with the words yod le yod lo yinoka ra, but that one is referring to what the Gemara mentions elsewhere. Marsha refers to this Gemara in Erevin that mentions that where a man counts out money into a woman's hand so he has time to gaze at her beauty and to have tibus for her. So that's a different pasuk, yod le yod lo yinoka. That's not the same one that we're dealing with over here. With that said, there's a lot of the Mefoshim that do have the girsa as we have in front of us that it is kolabal ishesish, and explain it in various ways. Anyway, kolabal ishesish or sheyesh begasas ruach, as Marsha would have it, afilu hikno la kodesh baruch hu shemayim va'aretz kavram avinu, even if he showed that Hashem owns the entire world, the way Avraham Avinu did, the way Avraham went around teaching everybody about Hashem and telling them how Hashem runs the world. And we find by Avraham, you have the expression Yod, you have the expression Harimosi Yodi Al Hashem Kel Elyon Kodesh Shemayim Va'aretz. I've lifted up my hand in a shvur to Hashem, the high Hashem Kodesh Shemayim Va'aretz, who owns heaven and earth. So Avram lifted up his hand to swear that he's not going to take any of the spoils of Sodom. So therefore, Yod Le Yod would refer to somebody who has that quality of Avram, that he demonstrates to everybody how Hashem runs the world and owns the entire world. Nevertheless, Lo Yinoka, he will not be cleansed, meaning Medinisho Gehenim, he won't be cleansed from the judgment of Gehenim. As much as he has that schus that he proclaims Hashem's greatness in the world, and like Avram, who called Hashem Kodesh Shemayim Va'aretz, nevertheless, so that's the Yod Le Yod, nevertheless, Lo Yinoka. However, Kasha Lahu, the debate of Shila, however, the Chachamim and the Yeshiva of Reb Shila had a problem with that understanding of the Pasuk, that Yod Le Yod hints at Avraham Avinu. Because Hai Yod Le Yod, Yod Bi Yod, or Yodi Mi Barile. It should say Yod Bi Yod, hand in hand, meaning that Avraham is saying that the world is in Hashem's hand. After all, he's not saying it goes from my hand to Hashem. When he says Konesh Amayim Varetz, he doesn't mean I own the world until now, and now I'm giving it to Hashem. So Yod Bi Yod would make it clearer. Hand in hand, meaning that all along it's in Hashem's hand, or the Girsa in the printed Gemara is Yodi. It should more clearly say Yodi. It should say my hand, because that's the expression that Avraham used. Harimosi Yodi. Miboyla is what it should say. Ela Amri Dvei Rav Shila. So rather, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav Shila, that it means Afilo, not to compare him to Avraham, but rather to compare him to Moshe. Afilo kibol Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if he's of such a high caliber that he received the Torah like Moshe Rabbeinu, yod liyod, hand to hand, just like Moshe received the Torah from Hashem's hand to his own, dichtibbe mimino esh das lama, if the pasuk says, from Hashem's right hand, fiery Torah to the Jewish people, nevertheless, yod liyod, lo, so hand to hand, nevertheless, lo yinoka, he will not be cleansed because he has this trait of gasas aruach. Marsha explains the idea is that we know Avraham Avinu had Ayin Tova. What was he saying over there when he said that I swear that I'm not going to take any of the spoils of Sodom? He had an Ayin Tova. He had a good eye. He was generous. He only wanted to have Hanah from what Hashem gave him directly. So nevertheless, this person has that good middah, but he has, on the other hand, gasas haruach with it, so therefore he winds up in dinash gehenim. Marsha relates all of this to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that you have the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu, you have Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, V'nefesh Shvala, so now the person has, this person, let's say, is like Avraham, he has an Ayin Tova. Nevertheless, he also has a Ruach Gvoiha, like Bilam did, and therefore he winds up for a spell in Gehenna. And then, even if he received the Torah, like Moshe, is meant in the same kind of thing. Moshe also didn't want to have Hanah from anything that he wasn't supposed to have, or anything where there might be where he doesn't think he fully deserves it. He didn't take any of the spoils from Mitzrayim or from the Yamsuf, only what Hashem gave him directly, as we learned in Nedarim. Hashem told him, Solacha, from today's Kriyas HaTorah, Solas Yehei Shalcha, the leftover chips of sapphire from carving out the Luchos Shnius, will be yours, and that's the only thing he took. So he has that middah. So he has that middah also of, so he has that same good middah of not having Hanah from others. Nevertheless, again, he has Ruach Gevoya, and therefore, so that doesn't spare him from Gehenna. Tasha Leila Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan still has a problem with Dvei Rabbi Shila's explanation. Hi Yod Le Yod, then why is the expression hand to hand? Yod Mi Boyle, should say hand from hand, meaning that he's a person who received the Torah in his hand from Hashem's hand. Yod Le Yod would be the other way around, that he's giving from his hand to another hand. That's not how the Torah was given. Ela, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so rather Rabbi Yochanan says no. Here's how you have to understand it. Afilo oisa tzedakah b'seser, even if the person gives tzedakah in secret. So now that fits very well with yod liyod, from his hand to the poor person's hand. And dichtiv bei, and we even find that the pasuk says about tzedakah that it has such power, matan b'seser yich be'af, a gift of tzedakah in secret subjugates and covers up Hashem's anger. V'sheicha b'cheik, and a bribe that's given into the pocket, meaning, so to speak, a person gives tzedakah, and in that sense, metaphorically, bribes Hashem. Chema aza, takes away great anger of Hashem. Nevertheless, so tzedakah accomplishes such tremendous things. Nevertheless, it does not mechaper for gasas haruach lo yinokem in dinah shel gehenem. He won't be cleansed of the judgment of gehenem. So Marsha again explains that the idea is, again, he has this midah. He doesn't even want to be, not only he doesn't want to have a hanah from other people, but he even wants to give away to other people with tzedakah. Nevertheless, the gasas haruach undoes all of that and causes that he goes in gehenem. Various other Mephoshim talk about other possibilities as well. One of them being that we find that all of these three are Olam Oymed Aleihem. We find that it says elsewhere the world was created for the sake of Avraham Avinu. Eva Tovos Hashemayim Ba'aretz Bihi Boram, where Bihi Boram is Osius Ba'Avraham. So Hashem created the world for the sake of Avraham. There's similarly a Medrash that says that Hashem created the world for the sake of Moshe, for the Torah to be given. And a person who gives tzedakah also upholds the whole world. Nevertheless, in all these cases, the gasas haruach still causes that he's still going to have to get that cleaned up in Gehenna. And then there are different other points about why the Gemara is singling out Davka these things, like Avraham and like Moshe and like a person who gives tzedakah. Next, the Gemara continues, as Hora Gasei Aruach Minayin. Where is there a warning in the Torah to not be a gas ruach, to not be a Baal Gaiva? Meaning, in other words, Marsha says, if we're saying that a person is punished with Gehenim, and you have, before we said he's Ovid Avodah Zarah, and like he had relations with Arias and all, so therefore you should have to have some kind of warning someplace in the Torah, some kind of explicit warning that says, in a pasuk that says, don't be a gas ruach. So Maharsha points out there are various places where it says an issur to do it, but the Gemara is seeking for something that you have an ocean. Alem ken mazhirin, so you want a clear warning, don't do this. Yuniakov also points out, you could say that the other psukim, maybe you're talking about a yochid. How do you know that a tzibur is allowed to, a tzibur is allowed to be proud as well? So therefore we want to find a pasuk that says in plural that you plural should not be, should not be gasei ruach. So where is that pasuk? Omer Rabba, Rava, Omer Ziri, Mehacha. You have a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shimu v'hazinu al tigbohu. Listen and pay attention and don't become proud. So the Shimu v'hazinu actually, one explanation is it actually means. It's referring to a Talmid Chacham particularly. He's heard and paid attention to the words of Torah, and now he's being told, al tigbohu, don't become a Baal Gaiva. So there you have a pasuk that says Altik Bahu. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says instead you have a pasuk, you have psukim in Chumash that express this point. The pasuk says Verom Levavecha V'Shachachta, your heart is going to become proud and you're going to forget Hashem. So you see that when a person becomes a Baal Gaiva, then it causes them to forget Hashem. And then Ochtiv, and the pasuk continues, Yisham Alecha Pentishkach, be careful that you don't forget Hashem. So we see that there's a warning in the Torah not to forget Hashem, and therefore, since Gasas HaRuach leads to that forgetting, then it means Gasas HaRuach is also included in that Isser. Now, where do we see that Hishom Alecha Pentishkach constitutes a Loisnes there? So, V'chidir Rabavin, Amar Rabbi Loi. Like Rabavin says in the name of Rabbi Loi, Amar Rabavin, Amar Rabbi Loi, Kol Mokom Shinema Hishomer Pen V'al, any place where the Torah says Hishomer, guard yourself to not do such and such, or pen lest such and such happen, or al, don't, which is another word for don't, Eina Ela Loisnes there, all of those constitute a Loisnes there. So over here, Pet Hishom Alecha Pentishkach is a Loisnes there, not to forget Hashem. And since Gasas HaRuach leads to that forgetting, then it's also included. The Smag mentions in his Sefer, Smag stands for Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, it's a Sefer by an important Rishon that goes through and gives an enumeration of the 613 mitzvahs, not always identical with the Rambams and with other Rishonims, but anyway, it's a major Sefer of Halacha. You look on a Das Gemara when you have in Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah, when you have references each time to the Sforim of Halacha, that quote the Halacha from the Gemara, you'll have over there the references are always to the Smag, the Rambam, and the Tur and Shulchan Aruch, because Smag is also a very important sefer of Halacha. For the most part, people nowadays use it more as it's quoted in later Sfarim, but anyway, the Smag writes that when he was doing his enumeration of mitzvahs, he went through all of them, and then he had a dream where he was told, Minashamayim, you know, you forgot one very important one. What happened to what we're saying over here in the Gemara? V'rom l'vavecha b'shachachta, and hishom l'cha pentishkach. So indeed, he put in his list of 613 mitzvahs, the mitzvahs to not forget Hashem, and to not be a Baal Gaiva. The Ramban, who lived around the same time, who was from about the same generation as the Smag, holds differently. He holds that there is indeed a mitzvah to not forget Hashem, and he lists it. He has a listing at the end of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. He has various mitzvahs on which he argues with the Rambam and says they shouldn't be included in the 613, and instead he proposes other ones. So one of them is he counts the mitzvah to not forget Hashem. He doesn't count the mitzvah of Gasei Ruach separately, because the Gemara is saying over here that it leads to it, but not that in and of itself it is an Isser. So we have two different sources for there being a warning not to be a Gasei Ruach. One point is, so why do we have two different sources? Because one is a pasuk from Navi. We would rather have a pasuk from Chumash. On the other hand, the pasuk from Navi, from Yumi, is only one pasuk. The one from Chumash is two psukim. So therefore, so each one has an advantage over the other. The Gemara continues, Dorosh Rabavira gave the following Dorosha, Zimnin Omala Meshmeh Rab Ami, Zimnin Omala Meshmeh Rab Asi. Sometimes he would tell it over in the name of Rab Ami, sometimes in the name of Rab Asi, as we learned yesterday, a couple of reasons why he would do that. Anyway, he said as follows, he's going to douse in a posik from Eod. The whole posik goes like this, Ruimu Ma'at, lift yourself, they lift themselves up a little bit, the Einenu, and they're nothing, they're gone. Vehumchu, and they get lowered. Kakil Yukovsun, they jump away like all. And like the head of a stalk of grain, they get cut down. So now he's going to douse in this pasuk as referring to Bala Gaiva and what happens to them in various circumstances. So kol adam sheyesh begasus haruach, a person who has gasus haruach, a person who has this trait of gaiva, losoif mismait, eventually becomes reduced. Rashi explains it gets reduced from his chashivos. He becomes not so important anymore. Ion Yaakov says it may also mean instead that it means that he loses his health. Mismayit would mean Rebriya Skufoy. And he says actually there might be a few possibilities. It might be he gets reduced from his Torah and from his money and maybe even from his health. In any case, Shenema Roimu Ma'at. As the pasuk says, Roimu, they lift yourself up. Ma'at, a little. So therefore, so in other words, that those first words of the pasuk are hinting that a person is Roimu, a person is a Balgaiva, Ma'at, then he gets reduced. Yochol, or Rashema Termi Yeshne Ba'olam, you would think, okay, he may be reduced, but at least he'll continue to exist in the world. No, Tamad Loima, therefore the pasuk continues, Ve'inenu, and he is not, he's gone. Marsha points out that actually the context of the pasuk is talking about the Dor HaMavol. So sure enough, they were Bali Gaiva. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, it was a couple of weeks ago in Daf HaYomi, they thought we don't even need Hashem. We're completely self-sufficient. The only thing we need Hashem for is rain, and even that we can make do with the house. And so Hashem shows them they're not so great as they think they are, and of course they depend on Hashem for everything. So therefore, so in the same vein over here, we're talking about a Bali Gaiva. He thinks to himself he can make do on his own. So therefore, so he ends up getting removed from the world just like they did. However, but now if the person does tshuva, then he'll be gathered in from the world, meaning he'll pass away in his time, unlike the Ve'enenu, where he's going to disappear much sooner. Now, if he does tshuva, then he'll live out a nice long life the way he's supposed to. Shenemar, as that pasuk continues, if they're lowered, if they're humbled, kakoil yukofsun, then they will jump away like koil. Now, what does that mean? Kakoil means like the obvious. Kavro misoch v'yakov dichtibu bakol mikol kol. We find by each of the obvious, we have an expression of kol, as we say in benching. Kamosha berachas avisenu, Avram misoch v'yakov bakol mikol kol. Because by Avram you have, v'ashem berachas Avram bakol. By Yitzchok you have, v'oichal mikol. He says to Yaakov, disguised as Esav, or actually he says to Esav, when Esav comes in and says, I want my bracha, and Yaakov tells him, I already ate mikol. And by Yaakov, Yaakov says to Esav, Yeshli Koil, I have everything that I need. So Kakoil over here refers to the three of us. And Yukofsun means they jump away. In other words, like they die a peaceful death and at their right time, and they jump straight into Gan Eden. So therefore, so the Vahumchu Kakoil Yukofsun means if the person humbles himself and does tshuva and is not a Baal Gaiva anymore, then he will jump away from the world and then pass away in his proper time, like Kol, like the three of us, Bakol Mikokol. The Imlav, but if not, if he fails to do tshuva, Ucharosh Shibolus Yimolu, then he'll be cut down like the head of a stalk, like the head of a stalk of grain. So my Ucharosh Shibolus Yimolu, so what do we mean by the head of a stalk in this connection? Rav Huna and Rav Chista argue what part of the stalk that refers to. Now you look at a stalk of grain, you'll find you have there's the straw that makes up most of the height of it. Then you have the actual grain at the top of the stalk. And then you have on top of it very stiff hair like you have very stiff bristle like hairs that stand at the top of it that stand above the grain and stick up and eventually later on when you cut off those hairs go along with, when you thresh the grain and process it and all, then those hairs end up getting removed, those bristles end up getting removed along with the shells and then whatnot, the various layers of shells and peels that surround the actual grain. So now, what is this Rosh Shibolus? So Rav Huna and Rav Chista argue which one it is. So, chadoma kasasa deshibalta, v'chadoma kashibalta atma. One says that it means like those bristles, like those hairs that are on top of the stalk. So now, those break off very easily, like this. If they're still there when you harvest the grain, then you break them all, then you break them during the threshing process, but they may also, sometimes they're so stiff that they just break off and fall on their own while the grain is still growing before it's been harvested. So one says that it means like that, like those bristles on top of the stalk of grain, that's how easily the person, the Baal Gaiva, will fall down and get broken. And the other one says, that it means like the grain itself, like the grain on top of the stalk. So it means like he gets harvested, he gets cut down from there. So two possibilities what Rosh Shibboleth means. So the Gemara asks, Bishlema Lamanda Amar Kasasa de Shibalta. Well, if you say it means like those bristles, which in and of themselves are not really very useful, then it's easy to understand. It means that they get chopped down like the head of the Shibboleth, like those hairs that break off and fall off on their own. So the same way will happen to the Baal Gaiva. But if you say it means like the actual grain itself, like the actual grain that's on top of the stalk, what do you mean they're going to be chopped down like that? The fact is, you don't only chop off the top of the stalk, you chop off the whole thing, including a good part, the good part of the straw that makes up the stalk, and then you thresh and winnow and everything. So, whereas the way the pasuk is phrasing it, it sounds like only the top gets cut off. So what does that mean? It's like when a person goes into his field, the tallest ones, the tallest stalks of grain are the ones that he picks first. So therefore, so now you have a stalk of grain where the grain on it is growing taller than the other ones, then it's going to be the first to be harvested because it's more noticeable than the other ones. So the same way, the Baal Gaiva, even if we compare him not to the hairs on top of the stalk, to the hairs on top of the grain, but rather to the grain itself, nevertheless, he'll be the first to be chopped down. The Maharal makes a point over here that the whole point is the Baal Gaiva is adding something to what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be on a certain level, and he's making himself greater and bigger than he is. So that explains why we're saying that he's going to be lessened, he's going to be cut down to size, and here, in a similar way, we're saying he's going to be like a stalk of grain that gets cut down to size. So he says, the machlokus basically is, which one is considered the extra thing? When you look at a stalk of grain, what is considered the extra thing, which we're saying is going to break off and then be cut down? You have one way of looking at it is it means those hairs on the top of it, which are not really necessary at all for the stalk of grain. And the other one is saying the grain itself, because again, the fact is the taller ones are going to the taller ones. It means, in other words, that they have they're greater. They're making them they're greater and bigger than the other ones, and therefore they end up getting cut down to size. Because the Baal Gaiva is like that. Instead of being part of the clown, instead of being part like everybody else, he pretends like he's greater and bigger than everybody else. Ben Yehoyada makes a somewhat different point on it. He says, which ones would be the ones that grow taller would tend to be the ones that have less grain on them, because if they have a lot of grain on top of the stalk, then the weight of it will bend it downward. So the ones that stand the tallest are usually the ones that have no grain or less grain in those, and therefore those are the ones that the farmer will chop down first in order to get them out of the way before he gets to the main harvest. So the same way, the Baal Gaiva over here, if we compare his gaiva to the grain itself, then it means he has none of it or very little of it, and therefore he winds up losing his head first. Okay. The Gemara goes on. So now, till now, we've been talking about the negativity of Gassus HaRuach. Now let's talk about the positive angle of the onav, of the person who is humble. So now the pasuk says, "V'es dako shfal ruach." Hashem says, "With the crushed person and the one of humble spirit." So what does that mean? Again, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So Rav Huna and Rav Chista again argue what that means. Obviously, Hashem is saying something complimentary about the daka and shfal ruach. But what is it exactly? Chad omer iti daka. One says that it means that Hashem is saying the one who feels crushed, the one who feels daka, who feels humble, is with me. I will lift him up to my level in Shemayim. The other one says, on the contrary, it means I will be with the Daka, I will lower my Shechina to be together with him. In other words, basically, is Hashem lifting him up to himself, or is Hashem bringing himself down to such a person? Yad Yosef brings over here something from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. That's one explanation of it, is that Iki Daka would mean that's after he passes away. He'll be b'mechitzasa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anias Daka would mean during his lifetime. There are various other explanations how to reconcile them. One of them is that Anaf Yosef gives a long explanation over here that there's a greater thing, for example, when somebody is admitted into the king's presence versus when the king goes out to see him. So you have in a similar vein over here, you can have two different ways of looking at it. The Chassam Sofer brings an explanation that can also depend for what motivates this person, what makes him a Dako Shval Ruach. Is it Mitzad Simcha? Mitzad his joy in serving Hashem and realizing that how little he is compared to Hashem. Well, then in that case, he deserves that he should be lifted up to Hashem. As opposed to, is it maybe that he's not so joyful about it? He's doing it in more of a in more of a meritistic way, so then Hashem will lower himself to him. So the Gemara says, "When we stabber a commander Amanias Daka." Now it's more logical to follow the opinion that says that Hashem brings his Shechina down to the humble one. So there can be that Hashem will bring the humble one up to him, but it's more likely the other way around. Shadei HaKadosh Baruch Hu yiniach kol horim gvoyz. We see that Hashem abandoned and didn't bother with any of the other mountains or hills. V'hishra shkinos al Har Sinai. And he made his Shechina rest on Har Sinai. V'loy gova Har Sinai l'mayla. Now instead, if we followed the opinion on Iti Daka, then Hashem should have taken Har Sinai and raised it up to himself. But he didn't do that. And we have Hashem put it a kof alem hakigigis, but that's not the same thing as raising it towards Hashem. So that would mean that Hashem, but instead the Shechina came down by Yerud Hashem al Har Sinai. So we see that Hashem prefers to bring himself down to be together with the Dako Shval Ruach. What, of course, there's the famous question in that case, and if Hashem wanted to show, we know, of course, all the mountains, Mount Rashi brings over here that the mountains, Har Tavor and Har Carmel, were arguing between them, and each one claiming the Torah should be given on me, and Har Sinai, but little Har Sinai, as the little kid's song goes, but little Har Sinai just stood there and sighed, and Hashem chose it, so then there's, of course, the famous question, why Hashem gave the Torah on a mountain at all, why not on a flat plain, and among the answers is because, after all, as in fact we'll have in the more or later, a person does have to have a tiny bit of a person does have to have a tiny bit of gaiva. A person has to be proud of serving Hashem, and that will motivate him to withstand the Yetzirah, to withstand the Umas Olam, and so on and so forth, and to realize it's beneath my dignity to disobey Hashem, and therefore, in token of that, Har Sinai had to be a mountain rather than actually just a flat plain. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yosef, La'olam yilmad od midas kainai. A person should always learn from the das of Hashem. A person should always learn to act like the way Hashem does, to love the people who are humble. And meaning, in other words, Marsha says also, since we just said mistabra, that it's logical, anies daka, that Hashem brings himself down to be with the humble ones, then the same way, a greater person should not say, should be willing to lower himself, to go to a lower person's level, and not say that, it's beneath my kavod to do that, because you're kavod greater than Hashem's. So Rabbi Yosef says that yes, a person should learn from the das of Hashem, from the way Hashem acted in this regard. Because again, Hashem abandoned all the other mountains and hills, and made his Shechina rest on Har Sinai, which is the lowest of all of them. And similarly, Hashem abandoned all the good trees, and made his Shechina rest in the thorn bush when he first appeared to Moshe. This is in brackets over here, and in fact there are Gersoris that don't have it because they are the different reason. We know Hashem chose a thorn bush because Imo Enechi Mitzara, Hashem wanted to show that he's together with the Jewish people in the Tzara of Mitzrayim. So therefore that's not necessarily that Hashem chose it because it's the lowest bush. Ion Yaakov gives a long explanation over here why the Gemara is quoting, if we do have the part about the snare, then why is the Gemara quoting them out of order? The snare was before Har Sinai, so first you should mention that Hashem rested his Shechina on the snare, and then afterwards mention Har Sinai. So he explains that So he explains, because if we just mention Har Sinai, you could say there's another factor as well. Har Sinai was never, Avodah Zarah was never worshipped on it, whereas the other mountains it was. So maybe that's the reason Hashem chose Har Sinai. So therefore, so no, we're saying that, so therefore we have to mention the snare as well. Yes, primarily the snare is because of Imah and Echibat Sarah, but nevertheless, we also see from that, he gives a whole pilpul over there involving the fact that why the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, Hanabat Azara worshipped on them, and we find in both in Mitzrayim and in the Midbar, the Jewish people worship at Avodah Zarah, and therefore that shows that Nichalahu, Lahalacha, it's considered therefore when the Goyim worshipped on the mountains in Eretz Yisrael, it's considered that they did it with the consent of the Jewish people. Because I'm going to ask in Avodah Zarah, how do the mountains become possible, for example, that now you can't take stones from them, let's say, to use to build the Beis Mikdash, because the mountains were worshipped. A person can't ask for something that doesn't belong to him, and Eretz Yisrael didn't really belong to the Canaanim, it belongs to the Jewish people. And the Gemara answer is that since the Jewish people worshipped Avodah Zarah, then it shows that Nichalahu. So Yon Yaakov develops a whole thing over here based on that. That look, they did worship Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim as well, but on the other hand, we see that it was really because of their tzara. It was really because they were in such trouble in Mitzrayim that they couldn't really think straight. So therefore, Hashem made the Shechina rest in the snare to demonstrate Imah and Echibat Sarah, and in turn that allows that bears on the choice of Har Sinai for Hashem to give the Torah on rather than one of the other mountains, because after all, the other mountains had Avodah Zarah worship on them. The Gemara continues, V'omer of Elazar, kol adam sheyesh v'gassas haruach, a person who has this trait of gassas haruach, roi l'gadei ka'asheira. He deserves to be chopped down like an asheira tree. How do we see that? K'siv hocha v'roma yakoy magdurim, you have a pasuk in Yeshaya, referring in context to Sancheirov's army, who were also very proud of themselves. The Gemara tells, we have an psukim, how Sancheirov was boasting of all the countries that he had conquered, and nobody was ever able to withstand him, and claiming that Yerushalayim won't be able to either. So the tall ones, the ones of tall stature, will be chopped down. And we have the same shirdish, goda, used in connection with an asherah tree. So therefore, there's the idea that the person who is a baal gaiva deserves to be chopped down like an asherah. In other words, because again, there's a vodizora and an asherah, you have to not only chop down, you have to completely remove even the roots. The same way the gas ruach has to be completely removed. Maoshar refers over here, you have the expression in Pirkei Avos, ma'oid ma'oid heve shval ruach. Why the double ma'oid? Because you have to go to the extreme with it. The Rama mentions in Hilchos Deis, you know, you have that most midas, a person should be in the middle, but when it comes to anava, a person should be ma'oid ma'oid, very much to that extreme of anava. So therefore, it's like an asherah, where you can't just chop it down, you have to actually pull it out by the roots and everything. Yom Yaakov also adds a point that you also have then that an asherah brings tumah and causes that the shechina can't live in Eretz Yisrael. And the same way over here, as the Gemara says further, that Hashem says about a gas ruach ain't an evil who you chodim lodur, that I can't have my shechina where this person is. So therefore, in that sense, he's compared to an asherah. The Maharal, again, those Sfarim of his that I mentioned before, goes further into it, and again, he explains the idea is that again the idea is that an asherah, being a type of Avodah Zarah, is an example of complete non-Metzius, whereas the Baal Gaiva is pretending to be a Metzius, and therefore the two things fit together. Therefore, he's pretending to be a greater Metzius than he really is, just as Avodah Zarah does, and therefore he should be chopped down like an Avodah Zarah tree, like an Asherah. For Amar Rabbi Elazar continues, Kol Adam Sheyesh Begasas Haruach, a person who has Gasas Haruach, Ein Afore Ninar, his dust will not be moved from its place, meaning he won't have Tchias Amesim. Because the pasuk says, "Akitzuradan and Rosh Neofer, wake up and sing, you who live in the dust." Shechne literally means the neighbors of the dust. Now, Shech they offer, but offer leNemar. It doesn't say those who lie in the dust, which would mean those who are dead. El Shech Neofer. Rather, the word is Shechne, Meloshin Shochan, Meloshin a neighbor. So that means Mishanasa Shochin La'ofer B'chayev, a person who, even while he was alive, acted like a neighbor to the dust. He was humble. He humbled himself and felt like the dust, like Avraham Avinu Varnoichi Ofer V'Efer. So Maharshal discusses over here the exact use about whether it's supposed to be sheikh vei offer or be offer, because as the Gemara trying to say there should be two changes in the pasuk, sheikh vei instead of sheikh nei and be offer instead of offer, and he goes and discusses that point. So here, in other words, you have Maharshal explains if it said be offer, then it would actually have to mean that he has to be covered with dust both on top and on bottom. Yes, that would refer to the mason who are buried with dust above and below them. But since it says offer, then it just means the person has the dust below him. Shochem offer b'chayav, he humbles himself down to the dust, but not that he has the dust covering him. And also it means, Maharshal also adds, it means, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means that he recognizes, again, like Avraham, he recognizes that the human being was created from dust, and therefore that there's no reason for him to be a Baal Gaiva. So then, such people are Kitzur Rananu, but not otherwise. Tosfos actually wonders in that case, then, why is a Gas Ruach not listed among those? That Ein Lahem Chelek L'Olam Haba, because on the face of it, then, we're saying, Ein Afor Niner, So there are mafoshim that talk about it, that say that maybe among one possibility is the Gemara may not mean the Gemara. Parshat may not mean it literally. Sometimes the Gemara will say such things in order to stress the severity of the Avera without necessarily meaning it literally. The Amr of Elazar, further Rabbi Elazar says, Kol Adam Sheyesh Begasas HaRuach, a person who has Gasas HaRuach, Shechinim Yalelas Olav. The Shechinah cries out because of him. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ki Yom Hashem V'Shofo Yira, Hashem is high up and he sees the lowly, the Gavoya and the high one, Mimerchok, from a distance, Yeyeda. Now, what does Yeyeda mean? So, first of all, the fact that it says, Ki Yom Hashem V'Shofo Yira, makes it clear that the word V'Gavoya doesn't mean Hashem the High One. It means rather he's looking at the High One, at the Baal Gaiva. But now, what is the word Yeyeda? Rashi explains that it comes from a meaning that means broken. We find various psukim where we have the shodash, Yud Dalet Ayin, means to break. So it means that the Shekhinah is broken and then crying because of such a person. Maharshal says that that's a bit of a doichek, and he says rather what it means is ki yom Hashem v'shofo yira. Hashem looks out for the shuffle, like we just said before, that Hashem lifts up the shuffle to one. One possibility is Hashem lifts up the shuffle to him, as we said before. But now instead, somebody the gavoya, somebody who makes himself high, Hashem does not bring him closer. Mimerchok, Hashem keeps him at a distance, and yeyeda, and he knows about what he's doing, and he baklog zich on him that like this, a boss of a dumb would want to be a boss of a dumb, a higher person would want to hobnob with, would want to associate with the higher ones, where Hashem does the opposite, as the Gemara is next going to go on to mention in the next Jerusha, that a boss of a dumb, the high ranking people usually associate with other high-ranking people, whereas Hashem does the opposite. As high as he is, he's associating with the shofel, dafka. So therefore, so gavoya mimerchok, so he keeps him at a distance. Yeyeda, and Hashem knows about what he's doing, and mourns for the fact that he could have been close to Hashem. So in this connection, Dorash Rabbi Avira, Tamer Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Avira, or some say Rabbi Elazar, said the following Dorasha, Bo Yorei, Shaloi Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Bos of Adam. Hashem's Midah is not like the Midah of Bos of Adam. Midas Bos of Adam, Gavoya Roya Esa Gavoya. By Bos of Adam, the High One looks at the High One. He wants to associate and then show honor to those who are on an equal social or whatever it is level with him. The in gavoya royas a shuffle, the high person, the important person, usually pays no attention to the lowly person. He's beneath his dignity to even notice him. He doesn't explain actually what yeyeda means. The word yeyeda itself attaches his understanding meloshim yoda, that Hashem knows what he's doing and mourns for the fact that he could have been different. So usually by boss of Adam, the in gavoya royas a shuffle, the high ranking person usually pays no attention to the lowly person. Avomidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einatein, Hashem is not like that. Hu gavoya, Hashem is the highest one, v'royas a shuffle, and Hashem sees the lowly. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ki Rom Hashem v'shofo yira, Hashem is high up and he sees the lowly. You also have elsewhere, the Gemara mentions the famous expression, Kol Mokam Shata Motu Gdulasa Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shamata Motu in Vesanus. So whenever you find a mention of Hashem's greatness, then right after that you have a mention of how Hashem associates with the lowly and looks specially after them. You have an example, the Gemara brings out examples in Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so it all relates to this idea. Also, as we have in Hallel, Roma Kol Goyim Hashem, and meanwhile, Mashpili Lidus, Vashemayim Varetz, where also that's a number of the Mephoshim explain that that's also meant to count. Counteract. The Goyim had the notion that the Roma Kol Goyim Hashem, Hashem is high up and beyond everything, and delegates things to the Sorim and the Kechovim Azolis and whatnot. And meanwhile, we're saying, no, I'm a Shvili Lidos, Hashem pays attention, Davka, to the Shofi. So Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. We have the expression Agoda Ilu Hayasham Loya Nigol, which we say to the Rosha. And as we know in Mitzias Mitzrayim, not everybody went. Only 20% people went. Only 20% went out, and 80% passed away during the 3 days of Makas Choshech. But that won't happen by the Gola Hasida, because then everybody is going to be redeemed. Is an expression in a pasuk. So even the ones who didn't want to go out then, so we tell the Rosha Ilu Hayasham, if you were there, Loya Nigel, but you're not there, you're with us now, and therefore in the Gola Amidus Vashlema, you will also be taken out and brought to the Gola Amidus Vashlema. Continuing with halachas of Matzoi Shabbos, so after Shemini Esrei, Matzoi Shabbos, we say Chafti Kaddish, and then we say Vihi Noyan. Why? That's the bracha that Moshe gave the Jewish people when they finished building the Mishkan. So now when we're getting back to Om Halachas, then it, what? Yeah, and this is parasha. That's true, right? Right. So you say it's standing. You say it's standing. At least the pasuk v'inoyim. You say standing. We say with the pasuk orach yomim twice. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch doesn't explain why you do that. It's brought the reason is because you have in the kapitel Yoshev v'seis Elyon, you have 124 words. So really you should say the whole thing twice to get ramach. But they didn't want to be matzriach the tzibur to say it twice. So instead you say the last pasuk twice, and that counts as if you said the whole thing twice. And then we say Vata Kodesh and the Seder Kedusha, because it all has to do, because with Vihi Noyam, through the Malachas HaMishkan, the Shechina rested in the Jewish people, and that's why we start off Vata Kodesh Yeshiv Tehillas Yisrael. Now we don't say it as we know, we don't say it as a Yom Tov coming out during the coming week, because the whole point is supposed to be Umasi Odeinu Kodeneu. It has to be that there are going to be 6 days upcoming that are Roy L'Malacha. And so if you don't say Vihi Noyam, you don't say Vata Kodesh either, because they go together. Kaddish Shalom, then you say V'yitzim L'cha and Aleinu, the Alter Rebbe instead has V'yitzim L'cha after Avdallah. The idea is, why put such an Arishmos at the end of Ma'ariv is because this gives the Rishoyim an extra amount of time before they have to return to Gehenna. They wait in Shemayim until the last congregation of Jews has finished Ma'ariv, and then only then they bring them back there. So this way you're giving them a longer time out. You're giving them a longer furlough from Gehenna.